The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Here you are. Kurt Schlichter is back again for me today as I take my long weekend during the middle of summer. Kurt may have mentioned he's got a new book out a little bit yesterday. I hope he certainly opens up today. Seven times a segment, Kurt. Seven times a segment, or it doesn't count. Take it away, Kurt.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt, and congratulations to Hugh Hewitt and the whole Hugh Hewitt team on their 20th anniversary. Wow. 20 years. And it is also Mr. and Mr. Hewitt's, Mr. and Mrs. Hewitt's 38th anniversary. There we go. Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. I specified the Sex Pistols version of this. That's just, oh, wow. Wow. Well, anyway, I am honored to be here as the guest host on the Hugh Hewitt radio program from the Relief Factor studio here in beautiful Southern California. I'm Kurt Schlichter. I'm the senior columnist at townhall.com. I am a retired United States Army colonel. I am a noted Los Angeles trial lawyer, and I am the author of this. If you're watching on the universe, you can see it. The 21 biggest lies about Donald Trump and you. Just out from Regnery. You should go get it. I may mention it once or twice per Mr. Hewitt's admonition to do so. But I'm just very excited to be here on this anniversary show because, like you, I am a dedicated Hugh Hewitt listener. I've been listening since probably right near the beginning, if not the beginning, of the age of Hugh Hewitt, the Hugh Hewitt generation, Generation Hugh. And the first time I actually met Hugh was I was the commander of the 1st Squadron, 18th Cavalry, in the California Army National Guard. And they located in various places in the Inland Empire and elsewhere. And it was a recon surveillance target acquisition battalion. We would operate ahead of the line, spotting the enemy and doing stuff. And we wore Stetsons. And we had what was called the Cavalry Ball. And in 2007, I thought, well, who should we have as a guest? And I said, well, let me try Hugh Hewitt. And Hugh showed up. And we create something in a Stetson, a mixture of various potent potables, to use the Jeopardy term, called the Cavalry Punch, Cavalry Grog, actually. And Mr. Hewitt partook of it. He drank from a Stetson. He has a Stetson somewhere. It's not here in his nerve center here in Southern California. Perhaps it's back in Virginia. But I do have the photos. And those photos are why I am here, I'm convinced. I have not released them to the public. But as long as I get to guest host, they will remain safe and secure. So happy 20th anniversary to Hugh and Dwayne and Adam and Ben. You guys are, this is a great team. I love coming here. I'm an organization guy. I commanded at the battalion level as a deputy brigade commander, acting brigade commander. I know what it is to have a team that functions. And when I get in here, this stuff just functions. If you're at the universe, I got a rundown. I know what we're doing each of our 12 segments today. I've got a cut sheet with all the little cuts that we will be playing, and it's really a pleasure. So congratulations, you guys. This is a great organization. I'm proud that you let me hang around. That's how I felt in the Army. I'm like, my God, they let me hang around with them. Wow, that's pretty remarkable. And they let me flog my book, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You, which is hilarious and non-FCC compliant. So The Hugh Hewitt radio program taught me about mentioning a book seven times a segment to make sure that you know that that book is out there, and that book being The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. Let's get to the rundown. Let's get to the news, because there's a lot of stuff going on. First of all, we had a couple of interesting Supreme Court cases yesterday. We'll be talking to Professor Josh Blackman a little later about them to deconstruct this Supreme Court session. Because you guys are actually, I sold it to Josh. I was like, Josh, you got to come here. This is a sophisticated audience. That's one of the great things about the Hugh Hewitt radio program. They don't talk down to you. You can say things like certiorari and stuff. You can say, associate justice. You can say dissenting opinion, and people aren't like, what's that? I don't know what that is. I didn't learn that in my gender marketing degree from Goucher College. I didn't get that there. You guys are smart. You're tuned in. You're hip. You swing. You crazy cats. Don't ever change. There are some interesting cases yesterday. We had the subpoena cases for Donald Trump's tax records from a third party, his accountant. And we had a very interesting case construing what constitutes Indian land. And it turns out to be a good chunk of Oklahoma is Indian land, because the Congress hasn't officially taken it back and broken the treaty. And we'll probably talk about that with Josh Blackman, but I want to talk about the tax return cases, because there's two of them. What happened is Democrats in the House subpoenaed Trump's personal tax records from his accountants for like the last 10 years. And so did the state district, local district attorney in Manhattan. He did it too. And the Supreme Court had an interesting ruling. And there was an interesting strategy. And here was the strategy that I'm convinced that they used. The strategy being, go in to the Supreme Court and say the president has an absolute privilege. That means you can't subpoena his records. You cannot ever do it. And well, that was an unsuccessful argument, in that none of the judges, even the dissenters, or the actual opinion, none of them agreed with that. It went 0-9. The question was, well, you can do it, but what are the limitations on it? And what happened was it got sent back. Both of them got sent back to the original district court. So for further examination, is it proper? Is it a fishing expedition? Blah, blah, blah. And it got panned as a huge repudiation and defeat for Donald Trump. In fact, Neil Katyal on MSNBC said it was a real disaster, because Trump doesn't want his tax returns to come out because there's supposedly stuff hidden in them. Let's hear what he had to say. Cut number four, please.
Well, I'm glad you started there, because I've been listening to our reporting for the last half hour, and I love my MSNBC colleagues and analysts, but I profoundly disagree with almost everything that's been said. This is not a mixed bag or a victory for Trump. Trump shouldn't be happy about this. The fact is he lost. He lost resoundingly, 7-2, including his own appointees to the court, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. The court, by seven justices, rejected his broad claims of immunity. And for a president who's sworn to take care that the laws be faithfully executed in our Constitution, the Supreme Court is saying these are bogus claims. Now, it's true, the case is now going to go back to New York and to the D.C. courts. But the key question is what's left. And with the Manhattan case, very little. It's very hard, I think, for Trump to assert any form of immunity. With Congress, maybe some more, he's got some more arguments back in the trial court. But nobody thought he was going to win, that the House was going to win immediate release of the tax returns or anything like that. So this is, I think, the best that the challengers thought. The only way in which Trump won anything today is he now possibly can delay this after Election Day and delay getting all the information to New York. But I think that's doubtful. Look, these cases can move very quickly.
Wrong! Wrong, Neil. You are wrong. Of course, everybody knew they were going to lose on this argument. That's why they made this argument. So it goes from the trial court to the Court of Appeal to the Supreme Court and takes about 2 years. takes about 2 years. Now it will go back. They will make arguments saying, well, there are various reasons. It's too broad. It is clearly and manifestly a political attack. It's a fishing expedition, blah, 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 because that is exactly what it is. Because obviously the plan is to get the tax returns, scrutinize them to see if they can find illegality. They are not going to find that. He has battalions of tax lawyers and accountants to make sure, because he's a high-vis guy. He's going to cross every T, dot every I. And it's too embarrassing. It's to leak out stuff that's politically embarrassing. And it only matters if it's done before the election. And because the decision at the trial court about where to release it, that gets appealed again and then goes back to the Supreme Court. And by then, President Trump has been reelected. That's the strategy. It was an unvarnished win. They pursued an argument they knew was going to lose to kill time. And it worked. Suckers. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk to you about Hugh's new article in the Washington Post. Great op-ed. All the commenters hate it. We got a lot of great stuff today on this anniversary show on the Hugh Hewitt Show. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. We'll be right back. Buy my book, 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. See you soon.
President Trump has an announcement for his top supporters. Team Trump will be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer. He wants you to enter for your chance to join him at the convention. If you win, Team Trump will cover the flight and hotel and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. All you have to do is text the word RED, R-E-D, to 88022 today. That's RED to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Again, that's R-E-D to 88022 to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be his special guest. Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way.
And we are back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. This is the 20th anniversary of the show, the 38th anniversary of the Hewitt's wedding. Now, that song, I specifically asked for the Misfits version of How You Look Tonight, and I don't know why we didn't get that. We'll try and give it the Kurt Schlichter edge, because I am Kurt Schlichter. I am your guest host here on the 20th anniversary of the Hugh Hewitt Show. It's quite an honor for me, and it's also an important day. Now, usually when I come in, something's on fire, something's exploded, something's crashed. I have this uncanny ability to be a guest host when everything's going to heck. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show, so I say heck. Today, it's kind of chill. We're keeping the vibe like this. It's kind of mellow. I'm not sure what to do because nothing's on fire. Nothing's burning down. And in fact, things seem to be going well. Now, if you follow Hugh Hewitt, and of course I know you do, you read his column at the Washington Post, where he is, he constitutes diversity. He is the sole voice of reason. And you can tell by the clamoring hordes of commenters screaming at him from your screen. Hugh's latest Washington Post column is titled. By the way, did you know that Webster's is now has now included the word irregardless. Irregardless is not a word. Okay? Just throwing that out there. This opinion piece is titled, "This Supreme Court Term Was a Win for Religious Conservatives. We Can Thank Trump." And I wholeheartedly agree. Let me give you some snippets of it. You should go and read the whole thing, but I want to give you some snippets. For many people of sincere faith, religious liberty is the keystone of all American liberties, indeed of the Republic. And the Supreme Court's trio of decisions in recent days buttressing the right to free exercise of faith will define the Roberts Court's just completed year as one of enormous significance and success. Trump's two appointees, justices, and I'm skipping around here a little bit. Trump's two appointees, Justices Neil M. Gorsuch and Brett M. Kavanaugh, sided with Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr. And you can tell some editor got in there and put the initials in because no one would write like that. And Associate Justices Clarence Thomas and Alito in the Montana case. This is dispositive evidence of the wisdom of their votes for Trump in 2016. The justices Trump nominated to the high court were necessary to the protection of religious education and reaffirmation of old but crucial precedents about parents' control over the education of their children. Religious conservatives who supported Trump in 2016 have been called King Cyrus Christians by the great Selina Zito and Brad Todd in their 2018 bestseller, The Great Revolt, on the greatest political upset in modern times. Trump's win depended not on Christians who believed that he shared their views or were blind to his faults, but on those who trusted Trump to appoint justices and judges who would look toward protecting their most important possession, freedom of worship and control over their children's lives, much as King Cyrus famously protected the exiled Jews in their return to Jerusalem. The same religious conservatives won't spend much, if any, time on the court's elegant opinions on the issues swirling around the president's tax returns, or on the census question that the chief led majority ordered stripped away last year. First things first, and the first rights in the First Amendment are the religion clauses. You know, sometimes Hugh and I, because I am a nerd trial lawyer myself, we will DM each other on Twitter and discuss things. And when Justice Roberts goes off on a Robertsy tangent, I will sometimes perhaps refer to him as Justice John Souter. And of course, this always sends Hugh Hewitt spiraling off going, Kurt, chill out. He'll be fine. Well, he certainly was fine as far as the religious decisions this time. And we can be grateful for that. And we can be grateful for President Trump nominating two Supreme Court justices who protect religious freedom and hundreds of other judges at the district and court of appeals level. That's why we got to reelect this guy on November 3rd. I'm Kurt Schlichter. This is the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. We're going to be right back.
Oh, but you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft.
And we're back on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. That music can mean only one thing. It is the anniversary of the Hewitts' marriage. 38 years of happiness and joy. 20 years, also same day, 20 years of this show. And I, retired Colonel Kurt Schlichter, get to be here to guest host while Hugh and Mrs. Hewitt are off doing Hugh and Mrs. Hewitt things. It's a real honor for me. And I saw a tweet yesterday. I saw a tweet, and it really struck me as kind of important. And it was about our kids, and it was about China, and about the kids of China have gone back to school. And those kids are at the top of the world rankings in STEM. And American kids who are sitting at home, distance learning, sort of, are 36th. And that led me to Representative Jim Banks, 3rd District of Indiana, who wrote a powerful article, op-ed, on FoxNews.com. Reopen schools or risk losing this generation of American children. Representative Banks, how are you this morning?
Hey, Kurt, good to be with you.
Okay, first I have a bone to pick with you. What's up with having been in the Navy? Why weren't you in a real service like the Army?
Well, I love my time in the Navy, Kurt. And
Village people never sang about us, Representative Banks. Never sang about us. Just say it.
I didn't serve for very long, but the irony, Kurt, is that I joined the Navy and they sent me to Afghanistan. They put me in an Army uniform.
Nice.
And in Afghanistan, they had me work my job in Afghanistan was work on Army ground wheeled vehicles. So it almost feels like I did serve in the Army.
Oh my gosh, that was when I got to California Army National Guard after my first drill, which was the riots. I came off active duty and went in. I got assigned as the battalion motor officer, so I understand your agony. You know, we could talk PMCS a little later. I want to talk to you about a number of things, but I think this is a hugely important op-ed and a hugely important issue to so many Americans. Where are kids going back to school, and why the heck is this even an issue?
Yeah, Kurt, this is the most important conversation that we need to be having in America today. How are we going to get our kids back to school in the fall? And I've been saying for a couple of months now, the conversation has to shift to away from our schools might not be able to reopen to our schools will reopen. But here is what it's going to take to get there. I have no doubt that it'll be challenging. It'll be costly. But we don't have a choice. The studies show at this point that the distance learning that most kids had over the spring failed, that they don't retain, that they didn't retain what they learned. We already know they backslide over the summer. So many of the statistics show that kids are already going to enter the next school year an entire grade level behind. And if we don't get them back in the classroom 5 days a week, then it's going to be even more costlier. Now, I have a lot of schools in my district that are reopening. They've announced plans to give parents options. Almost every survey that they sent out to parents all of them were almost exactly the same. 80 to 90% of parents said, we want to send our kids back to school 5 days a week.
I'm in that group.
I am too. I have three daughters at home that are in grade school, and I've seen what they've went through.
I got two kids in high school, and they need to be in high school. That's where they need to be.
There's no doubt about it. That's why I wrote a bill a few weeks ago. Tom Tiffany, the new congressman from Wisconsin, and I introduced the Reopen Our Schools Act, and there are three parts of it. I'll go through them really quickly. First and foremost, we give schools the liability protections that they're asking for so that they can reopen with confidence and know that they aren't going to be sued for frivolous reasons by doing so. But secondly, by giving them those protections, we also demand that if you do reopen in the fall for in the classroom education, but if you don't, then you risk losing your federal grant funding. And while that might seem harsh, we do the third part of our bill is...
Well, Representative Banks, if they're not having school, why should we be giving them money?
That's the whole point of the Reopen Our Schools Act. You have to ask questions.
There seems to be this idea among, Democratic-led student or teachers unions that, you know, their compromise is you pay us and we don't work. And I don't know. I'm a trial lawyer, simple trial lawyer from Los Angeles. That seems like a really bad deal to me.
Yeah, I've talked to countless teachers, Kurt, and almost every single one of them tell me that their kids are better off in the classroom. So I'm often baffled by the teachers union that doesn't seem to represent the teachers
exactly.
That it professes to represent, because they say something exactly the opposite of what the teachers say. The teachers know better than anyone that these kids belong in the classroom where they can teach them in front of them. There's also the socioeconomic component to this that's often missed in this discussion. You have some kids from the lowest rung of the economic ladder who the best meal that they ever get is in the school. The conditions in their home are such that they're better off in the school where they're surrounded by adults who care for them. And that's being missed in this discussion as well. In fact, you read some of these studies about virtual learning and you hear the vast number of students who never even show up online for the virtual learning. You hear that from the teachers and you recognize that we're not just leaving behind a generation of kids. There's a whole sector of kids out there that are falling through the cracks altogether. I think we can speculate what that's going to lead to down the road.
Well, and there's another factor, and it's a very real factor. A lot of parents, particularly single parents, rely on schools as childcare. Yeah, yes, the kid's getting an education, but this allows mom or dad to go out and work because the kid's in school, and there seems to be some sort of social pressure out there, not to mention this very obvious fact, but it is a very obvious fact. We need those schools so their parents can do the work they need to support their families. I think we're letting our people down by unnecessary panic about a problem that can be solved through reason and science, calmly and soberly, just like we did in the military. Here's a problem. You don't run around with your hair on fire. You figure it out and you solve it. And frankly, it seems too many people seem to, in some ways, be enjoying this whole pandemic adventure as if they're living through a not too dangerous dystopian novel. I find it very, very aggravating.
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head. We can't get America back on track and rebuild America if we don't reopen our schools. I mean, it's what's best for kids, but it's also the linchpin to getting our economy back on track as well. And you opened the segment talking about my tweet yesterday about China. China has reopened their schools, and they're already in some STEM categories. Their kids are already ahead of us. So it's not lost on me that while China tries to profit from a pandemic of their own making in a lot of other ways, that another way that they're going to leapfrog us is educationally. We can't allow that to happen.
Well, and you know, the state of education's already the problematic statement. State of education's already been highlighted by the last few weeks, where it's pretty clear we have a generation of people who have absolutely no conception of our history, no conception of our culture, no conception of America's story and its message and its purpose. And then you throw in this pangolin pandemic panic. And it is a recipe for disaster. But let me move on to the solution to the problem, which is coming in November. We've got an election coming up. How do you feel about your chances in Indiana 3 in November?
Well, yeah, I come from a great district from middle America, working class, a district that supports President Trump with everything that we've got. So. Where I come from, we have the most manufacturing jobs per capita of any district in the country. People have gone back to work. We have a positive outlook about where our economy is heading with Donald Trump at the helm. There's no one out there that I would rather have in the White House to manage the rebuilding of America than Donald Trump. And that's what most of my constituents believe as well. So, but when we survey the rest of the country, to get back to this conversation about reopening our schools, getting our economy back on track, the chaos, havoc, and violence in the streets, it's not lost. It's also not lost to me that the far left radical wing of the Democrat Party, which owns the Democrat Party today, they want to continue to motivate this type of activity to try to create chaos leading up to Election Day, and that's what concerns me more than anything. Well, where I come from, there's no doubt that President Trump is going to receive the vast majority of the votes, but where there's chaos in the streets and violence in the streets, that's people are sitting back. They want it to be over with, and they're trying to figure out how that will happen. And that's why Republicans have to be the party of law and order. That's why we have to bring stability back to this country and show the American people that we're the party to do that. And if we do, then Donald Trump will be reelected.
Well,
overwhelmingly.
Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, let me ask you a question. And I don't want any hedging. We're military guys. I want you to tell me yes or no. Are the Republicans going to take the House back in November? There's yes. There's no. There's no other answer. Give me an answer.
I believe that we can. Yes. Yes, we can.
Okay.
We have the candidates around the country to do it. There's no question about it.
Well, there are a lot of great veteran candidates out there. Mike Garcia here in California, a friend of mine. Sean Parnell running against Connor Lamb, another friend of mine. You need to support them. Very quickly, the music's playing. You got 15 seconds. Where can we go to support you in your reelection?
Well, first of all, follow me on Twitter, at Rep Jim Banks. You can find me at jimbanks.us as well. Thank you, Kirk.
Hey, thank you very much. Keep fighting the fight for our kids and our country. Representative Jim Banks of Indiana here on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. We're going to be right back. Stick around.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of and the way you look.
And of course, now We've got a visit from a great friend of the show for years and years and years. On today, the 20th anniversary of the Hugh Hewitt radio program. Tarzana Joe, what have you got to help celebrate?
19 and a half years, maybe 19 and three quarter years on the show.
So you were there at the beginning, at the inception, if you will.
Yes, at the dawn of a new age. And this poem is not quite about that. When the worst ideas you ever heard get popular endorsement, when nothing is a felony except for law enforcement, when politicians can't recall the promises they made, when offering to give and take, they only give you shade, when calamities continue and the media is thrilled, when the pedestals are empty and the hospitals are filled, when disruptions are permitted but no praying in the pews, when you need the information but you can't believe the news, when the folks who write the laws are out there breaking every rule, when education's needed but the kids can't go to school, when the government is funded by the doers and the payers but their interests are abandoned by the governors and mayors, when your character is measured by the people that you meet from the T-shirt that you're wearing or some long-forgotten tweet, when you're feeling kind of tipsy, but you ain't done any drinking, when you haven't got a notion what the other guy is thinking, when your Timex takes a licking, and you're feeling kind of stressed, but there's nowhere you can go to have your grievances redressed, when you think you're the majority, but haven't any choices, don't you think it's getting time to stand and raise your voices? That's 21 Reasons to Be Like Kurt Schlichter by Tarzana Joe.
Oh, my gosh. That's, wow, thank you so much. I love that. And I got to say, during all this chaos, I've been a little worried about you. I'm thinking, how do you rhyme, you know, something with COVID or something with defund? Maybe fecund?
We stay away from that.
You stay away from that.
There are certain rules in the poetic handbook, and we stay away from those two rhymes especially.
Yeah, you just want to avoid those. Hey, Tarzana Joe, thank you so much for being such a great part of the Hugh Hewitt radio program for 19-plus years. And it wouldn't be the show without you. I've been a listener the whole time, and... thank you very much for May McGrate poems, May Great Moments, and for today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. That's Tarzana Joe. How can we get a commission to you, Tarzana Joe?
You just go to tarzanajoe.com, and you can reach me at tennis@tarzanajoe@reagan.com.
Excellent, excellent. Go out there for all your verse-related needs. Thank you, Tarzana Joe.
Good day.
A study in contrasts. The Democrat and the Republican in terms of our kids and schools. Let's play cut number two. It's Nancy Pelosi at a House presser.
Secretary of Education indicated that children should go to school. They have to take risks. Everybody takes risks. Take risks to ride a bicycle, to be an astronaut. There's risk. You have to take risk. No, we don't want our children to take risk to go to school. We're supposed to mitigate for any damage. We're supposed to keep them safe. So with stiff competition, that was one of the most ill-informed statements. Stiff competition, though, in this administration on this and other subjects.
No risks for our children. Let's wrap them up in bubble wrap, hover over them like helicopters. Not cool ones like Apaches, but kind of like sissy helicopters, you know, like Fisher-Price helicopters. Now, let's compare it to the bold muscularity of our president. Cut number 10.
But the young and the healthy do safely return to work and to school. We have to open our schools. Open our schools. Stop this nonsense. We open our schools. Germany, Norway, so many countries right now. They're open. The schools are open, and they're doing just fine, and they're opening in the fall. So we have to get our schools open. Denmark, Sweden, we have to get our schools open and stop this political nonsense.
Exactly right, Mr. President. There's your contrast, folks. The Democrats want to drag this out. Want to cater to the teachers union, and frankly, there are a lot of teachers, and some may have health concerns, and we can deal with those. But others are saying, well, you know, if I can get paid and I can stay home and watch The View, ka-ching, because teachers' unions, teachers' unions always put kids first. Oh, just kidding. That's a total lie. Look, guys, we got to get these schools open. We have to demand it. The president wants it. And I think this could be a key issue in November. I think that Donald Trump needs to get out there. There are a lot. Look, the Democrats are handing us this election. It's on a platter. All we got to do is dig in. Pick up your fork and dig in. We want to keep your kids at home because they might get the flu, which doesn't really affect kids. Get them to school. We need to open our schools. We need to get back to normal. We need to get America working again. The only guy who will do it is Donald Trump. Joe Biden sitting in his weird basement. That ain't gonna cut it. This is a Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm Kurt Schlichter. Stick around for the next hour.